This is a HeadGum Podcast.
In 86, N.M. Martin wrote the first book of what became a cult. Now it's time for the Babysitter's Club.
Well, here we are back again. Excited to talk about another great piece of babysitting content. Babysitting is something that I love. It's something that I've always really enjoyed reading about. When I was pretty young, when I was about 8 years old, I moved to the States and my best friend was my cousin, and she encouraged me to read all the Babysitter's Club books. Yep. And so babysitting has really been kind of when I'm looking for something to read, just like a fun book to pick up to take my mind off stuff, you know, like the end of the world or whatever, or it feels right. Like the end of the world sometimes. Right. I pick up something that's about babysitting usually.
Even if it weren't currently the end of the world.
Yeah.
Or felt like the end of the world. You know, you might just want to distract yourself from the fact that you are a man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And my sort body of, is dying.
Yeah, with a body that's failing on you more it's and on more the every day.
Yeah.
Just sort of on like a little speck of dust in possibly large... inky black void,
and
not only
universe,
are you
yeah.
a man, but you are responsible for caring for
yes
a smaller man,
and he doesn't know yet.
So confused and yeah. so scared,
he doesn't know yet about how bad it actually is that it's an uncaring universe. Because I haven't had the heart to tell him yet, and I'm kind of trying to shield him from a lot of stuff.
Yeah. And that's that. And I like to read for that same reason, to yeah. distract myself from those things.
Yeah. Babysitting
and the
stuff.
Babysitter's Club was like the perfect
yeah.
antidote to that stuff, you know. And
yeah.
and we finished those, and we just that was season one, obviously. Yeah. And then we did The Mandalorian. That's fun. That's season two. Waterworld.
Yep.
Season three.
Yeah.
Great.
Great.
Here
fun
are
one.
Season. When we even did season five already.
Yeah, we did it tomorrow, but yesterday.
We did it tomorrow. Yesterday.
Yeah.
And you'll hear it next week. But.
We recorded next week's episode yesterday.
And don't ask why.
Yeah, it's complicated.
And here we are in season four, and
it's good, and I did enjoy it.
Well, yeah, well written.
Let's say who we are.
Video novel. What do you call a video novel when it's not a video?
We say a radio novel. And
right.
Let's say who we are. I am. I'm a man. And my body is dying. And I am kind of trudging endlessly along the road of life. And the only reason I keep going is I don't know how to stop.
Right.
Yep. And also I have a young child that depends on me.
Right.
And
if
and,
you died,
yeah.
well, you wouldn't know what happens to him.
Yeah. And I, despite myself and against my better judgment, I love him fiercely and with every fiber of my being.
Yeah.
And it's surprising to me that that's what's happened, but it is what has happened. And it fills me not with joy, but with dread and anxiety and constant fear that something might happen to him. And that's
yeah.
who I am. And what are you? What's your name?
Well, let me ask you a question ourselves. First.
Yeah.
If it came to it, could you do it?
And no. And no is the answer to that one. Yeah. And
okay.
Spoilers for the road in this episode, probably.
Who am I?
And who are you? Yeah.
I'll tell you who yeah. I am. Well, first I'll start by saying that there is no God.
Yes.
And I, Jack, am his prophet.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tanner Greenring.
Yes. And my name is Jack. Did I say it?
Yeah. I don't know.
It doesn't matter much. No. This is the Babysitter's Club. Club. And
yeah.
we talk about, as we've always said, iconic instances of babysitting. And this week we're talking about the iconic instance of babysitting that is Cormac McCarthy's The Road.
A book that neither of us had ever read before.
No, we hadn't read it. And I didn't know what to expect. I knew it was about babysitting.
I had seen the film when okay. it came out with Viggo Mortensen. So I knew it wasn't like fun. You know, I knew I wasn't like in for a raucous good time.
Fun's not one of the words that I would use to describe it.
You know what doesn't translate to the big screen though is the actual good part of this book, which is Cormac McCarthy's very nice writing.
The writing, so
sort of loses a lot of its punch once it's just like a post-apocalyptic
I would
thriller.
Argue that there's no point in doing it without the writing.
Yeah.
But I guess we're going to attempt here in podcast form to recreate the experience of the road for listeners.
Right.
The writing has this drive to it that is like walking, isn't it? It just like is it like the way I don't know how he fucking does it, but with the way that he writes, it's just like this relentless plodding forward that just like keeps pushing you against your will towards
pushing
the end of the
book. Pushing
you
against your will towards the inevitable.
Yeah, it's an incredible feat to accomplish just with words. But that's right. He like you are step after step walking along the road thanks to his the specific rhythmic style of his prose, and it's pretty impressive. Yeah, so let's say what we do. I guess we like to describe the book. It's a book about babysitting, and let's just put this to bed now. There's been a lot of controversy about whether you can babysit your own child, and some say you can't. And that you're not allowed to say it, and you shouldn't be allowed to say it, because it's your child.
Right. You're raising it, right?
But
what if there's a finite amount of time? Because like
yes.
The difference between raising a baby and babysitting a baby is babysitting is finite. You know there's an end.
Right. Babysitting
and
has a beginning, a middle, and an end.
The nameless father character in this book knows there's an end because he's dying of tuberculosis or something like
that. Yeah, they don't say what it is, but it's not good. Look, I think there are going to be some spoilers for the road in this. I'll do the soft spoiler.
We didn't warn them about spoilers for Mandalorian and Waterworld.
Or the Babysitter's Club.
Yeah.
Let me do the soft spoiler now for folks.
Here we go.
Okay.
Babysit.
Well, let me do this. The road is, it's mostly atmosphere.
Yeah.
It's just sad. And it stays the same amount of sad from the beginning to the end with like a peak of sadness at towards the end.
Right.
But that's what it is. And then there are probably going to be plot detail spoilers, but we'll see. Anyway, now tell me what babysitting is, and then we'll find out whether a daddy can do it or a mom.
There are a couple definitions, but the one I want to draw your attention to is to take watchful responsibility for, semicolon, tend.
Okay. That's what this man does in this book.
That's what this man does.
Yeah.
To his son.
Yeah.
Who also doesn't have a name. I texted Jack earlier this week and said this, but we've now done three pieces of media in a row.
And they don't have any names.
Where the male protagonist does not have a name.
Yeah, we have a whole segment that's Meet the Cast. And the cast is just, as far as I could make out, it's the man, it's the boy, Jackie Radowski. Yeah. And then it's mostly killers and cannibals. And then it's some other sad men.
Yep. One's called Eli, but it's not his real name.
Oh, and Eli. Yeah. And then he's like, finally a name. And then at the end, the man is like, is your name really Eli? And the guy's like, does it fucking matter? But no. That's what this book is like, man. Yeah. This book owns.
Yeah.
I feel like next week, I have this spidey sense that's telling me that next week you're going to describe the novel.
Yeah, well, I did it last week, and I will have done it
next week. Yeah. And so
you should do it this week.
I should say it. I don't think I'm necessarily going to need 80 seconds.
I think use the room.
Well, but how spoilery are we going to be? How much are we going to spoil this book?
This book is 14 years old. If you haven't read it yet, you're not going to.
Read it before it. I read it in a day.
Yeah, it's short.
And it's why I'm in a weird mood.
Yeah.
Can I tell you this? Like, this is true. I am not much given to sentimentality. It's having been born British, it's either something that is deficient in me or it's like it's a superpower that I have, but I'm not given to sentimentality by any stretch. Every 30 pages or so of this book I had to stop reading and go and give my son a big hug. Like, even though it wasn't my turn to babysit, or whatever they call it when a dad does it, rearing, I would like go into the other room and find a reason to give my son a big hug and then come back and read some more of the book. It's like, it's so fucking intense.
I found when I was feeling too sad, what I would do is just keep reading, and then oftentimes I would feel scared.
Yeah, I would be scared a lot. Instead, I would describe reading this book as an ongoing trauma.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, it's 300 pages of
I would trauma. Also add that there are some moments of hope in this book. Like, there's a scene where they, like, find this, like, old prepper's, like, cellar that's, bunker. Like, full of, like, beans. Yeah. And they're like, we experienced joy for the first time in 5 years. And then, like, I found those moments to be almost more traumatic than the other moments, because I was like, it makes it worse that they have regained some hope.
Well, and he keeps saying that too. Yeah. The man. He's always just like, no, you can't have hope. Like, as soon as you start having good dreams, you know that you're done.
All right, let me describe this book, and I'll do my best. And at some point, I'm just going to stop. And then whether it's 80 seconds or not, I don't know.
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
It's meaningless.
Yeah. Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Okay, here's what happens.
Take as much or as little time as you want. It really doesn't matter.
Thank you. Okay, here goes. Something has gone horribly wrong.
Yes.
So very wrong.
In an unexplained way.
In an unexplained way, and in the near past, but also it feels like it was probably a long time ago. Like, I think the boy's maybe 8, and he feels like he's like somewhere, maybe preteen. Like Karen Brewer's age. So when the mom was first pregnant, everything was not wrong. But now it is so wrong.
I think everything was wrong.
Oh, you think? Okay.
She was pregnant.
Everything
I don't remember this specific passage that made me think that
everything was starting to go
into the apocalypse.
Wrong. Let's say it this way. The man remembers a childhood where things were okay.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of timeline we're working with, but we don't know what went wrong. All we know is that they scorched the sky. Yep. And that's the Matrix.
And that's the Matrix.
And so that's actually not it. What we know is that a bunch of people burned. And everything is dying.
Everything is dead. Not just people.
Yeah.
Animals are all dead.
Yeah.
I think most of the plants are all dead.
They have a long conversation about whether there are any crows, and the man is like, I'm fairly certain there are not.
Yeah. We do know that there's crabs.
We know that there's crabs.
We saw a crab. We do know that there's apples.
And a dog.
And a dog.
Yeah. But mostly what's left is most of the people that are left are cannibal killers. Mm. And they're pretty bad. And there are some of the people who are left who are, like, husks. And that's what the man and the boy are. And the mom couldn't go on. And that's that. And so it's just them.
That would be me.
And they have to go to the coast. And it's
they're
like,
going south.
It's a lot like Grapes of Wrath, except the opposite. They're going to the coast to find... Not because it's necessarily good there, but because it's really cold where they currently are.
Not because it's necessarily good there, but just because, like, there's nothing else to do.
And along the way, they have a lot of babysitting adventures, and that's the story.
They have a lot of babysitting adventures, yeah. They start the story with a gun.
Yeah.
And the gun's got two bullets in it.
Yeah, and there's a reason for that, and I'll allow you to speculate. As a reader,
why the gun has two bullets?
Podcast. Not you, the readers of this podcast.
Oh, right.
Why is two bullets?
Why did the man with his son save two bullets?
And it's important to have them. And that's something to think about, and that's something to think about. And what else? Let me think. I've got a quiz for you.
Okay. Did you do all the plot of the book?
And that's the plot.
Yeah.
And that's
say
it.
The end? Later, for the segment.
No, I'm not saving it. At the end, I just think we can get by without saying it. At the end, it's pretty sad.
I'll talk around it, but let's just say the man has a pretty bad cough throughout the book and wakes up in the middle of the night and coughs up blood.
Yeah.
And it gets worse and worse until the end of the book when suddenly it's no longer a concern.
And then it's not a concern, but there are some other good babysitters. And this is a book about babysitting, and it's not all... Well, I was going to say it's not all totally bleak, but it's fairly bleak. Listen, I thought it would be fun if we did a quiz.
Okay.
And so you and I love to talk about babysitting, and we love to read Babysitters Club books, and we love to read books about iconic babysitters. And this book, which is a story about a road trip from a nondescript place to a place that has a coastline.
Nondescript coastline.
Is a lot like a book that you and I have read that is called BSC in the USA.
Oh, right. Let me remember that one. Christy's going on a tour of baseball.
It's a super special, yeah. They go on a. Everyone goes on a road trip.
Someone else, Claudia and someone else, is going like south.
Yeah.
I think they go to a plantation. They learn about like...
There's like twisters.
There's twisters. Oh, right. There is a twister. Yeah. They like visit like someone's aunt and uncle.
Yeah.
They do go to a plantation, I remember. And like Jesse's like, plantations are bad.
So it's very similar. They're on the road. And that's what this book is. It's mostly just going being on the road. And it's like it's babysitting on the road. So it's two very similar texts. Yeah. And so the quiz that I prepared for you is a quiz, and it is called, is this quote from The Road or from BSC in the USA? Super special. Ready?
Two very different texts. I'll say that Cormac McCarthy's sort of writing level, reading level, pretty different from BSC.
It's different, but there are some, I mean, as I've said, it's like broadly the same narrative, right?
Broadly the same narrative, yeah.
They go on the road, they babysit on the road. Like, yeah.
He uses words like sepulcher.
Yeah. So I've done a little bit of like changing a few words that would like give away the game to make it
a fair
quiz.
Okay.
But I've got five questions this time. So there's a tiebreaker. All right, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Is this quote from The Road or from BSC in the USA, which is the penultimate super special, I think? It was now like a thick, dark blanket across the sky. Four pointy, twitching funnels were growing downward from it as if four giant gray puppies were sitting above the clouds and their waggly tails were poking through.
You just said BSC had tornadoes. This one didn't have any tornadoes.
That's right. This is the twister that they see in BSC in the USA, but it's the language is evocative in the way that Cormac McCarthy's language. Yeah. Okay. Here's another one. Is this quote from BSC in the USA or from Cormac McCarthy's The Road? There was yet a lingering odor of cows in the barn, and Christy stood there thinking about cows, and she realized they were extinct. Was that true? There could be a cow somewhere being fed and cared for. Fed what? Saved for what? Beyond the open door, the dead grass rasped dryly in the wind.
Huh. Such a tricky one. It definitely sounds like The Road, but you did say Christy, and no one in The Road, except for Eli, has a name.
Yeah.
Babysitter's Club.
Yeah, this is when Christy realizes that cows are extinct.
Right.
Okay. Here's another one. After a while, they were starving. The man led them to what else? A health food restaurant. He made them order food they'd never heard of. The boy had succulent sautéed seitan cutlets. Seitan is wheat gluten. It's supposed to taste like steak. It doesn't.
I think the main thing they eat in The Road is other humans.
Right. Not these guys, because they're the good guys and they carry the fire within them. But
Right. They eat like peaches.
Yeah.
Canned peaches from a bunker.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say Babysitter's Club.
This is one of the sad scenes from The Road where they're starving.
Okay.
And they have to eat seitan cutlets.
They have to eat seitan. I'd rather die.
Yeah, so that's wrong.
I'm going to go ahead and use one of those two bullets right now.
Okay, so you are 2 for 3.
I love seitan.
I love seitan. It's so good.
My favorite fake meat.
That's a wrong take, but it's fine to say.
Okay. Yours is like tofu, right? It's like boring.
It's so versatile.
Yeah, so is seitan.
Well, tofu is even more
texture.
Versatile.
It's tofu's like jello.
You can add texture to tofu if you know how to cook it. So,
okay.
And that's what they learned in the road. I've got two more. Ready? Mm-hmm. Is this from BSC in the USA or the road? Look at me, Stacy said. Margot turned and looked. She looked like she'd been crying. Just tell me. We wouldn't ever eat anybody, would we? No, of course not. Even if we were starving? We're starving now. You said we weren't. I said we weren't dying. I didn't say we weren't starving. But we wouldn't. No, we wouldn't. No matter what? No. No matter what. Because we're the good guys? Yes. And we're carrying the fire? And we're carrying the fire. Yes. Okay.
Such a tricky one, because yeah. The Stacy Margot are definitely characters from BSC.
But I have changed some names around, so that's not, you can't totally rely on that.
Oh, okay. That's tricky. BSC.
Yeah, it's BSC. This is when they don't eat anybody.
Yeah.
Does happen in that book.
It does happen. Don't eat anybody. And they are good guys, I would say.
Yeah. And they're good guys.
They carry the fire.
Yeah, and they can carry the fire. Okay, one last one. I think you've already won the quiz, but this is the last one. Ready?
Thank you. Yep. How do you win a quiz?
By getting more answers right than you get wrong.
Okay. God, I wish that was the policy in high school, am I right? My grades would have been a lot better.
Ready?
Yeah.
He walked out into the road and stood. The silence. The salader drying from the earth. The mud-stained shapes of flooded cities burned to the waterline. At a crossroads, a ground set with dolmen stones where the spoken bones of oracles lay moldering. No sound but the wind. What will you say? A living man spoke these lines. He sharpened a quill with his small penknife to scribe these things in slow or lamp black. At some reckonable an entabled moment. He is coming to steal my eyes, to seal my mouth with dirt.
Is this from BSC in the USA or Cormac McCarthy's The Road? Both road trip movies, and it's The Road. Yeah, that one's from
Sounds
the
like
road.
The Road. Lots yeah. of SAT yeah. words in there.
That one was from The Road. Yeah, you yeah. killed it with that quiz. You did a really good job.
Well, I did just three.
Good.
Like yesterday.
Good. It's a pretty fun book.
Yeah.
Fun is, again, the wrong word. I did like to read
fun. Fun in a sense. You know, it was fun to confront death so much.
Mm-hmm.
It was fun to think about eating other people.
Yes. Fun is the wrong
word, right.
But interesting and compelling.
Titillating.
Titillating, yes. Yeah. And it's about babysitting, which is what we like, and there is a lot of babysitting, and even if you don't agree that a parent could babysit their own child, there are brief moments where other people do try to babysit the boy.
Bad guy.
Somewhat forcefully.
Cannibal killer tries to babysit the boy very briefly. And then the man shoots him in the head.
Yes.
There's an old man
mm-hmm.
who tries to babysit the boy. But really, it was more like the boy babysitting the old man.
Yeah.
But they move on from him. There's a man who got electrocuted by lightning and was dying in the middle of the road.
Does he try to babysit the boy?
I guess it kind of depends on your definition of babysitting, but they kind of have like a interaction.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
let me ask you this question. I've got some hit segments that I want to really hit hard on the other side of the break. But but first, I want to end with something a little fun.
Okay.
So I got a fun question for you about this book.
Okay.
Okay. So this is this scene happens right after they witness the cannibals doing their dastardly.
Which one?
The really horrible ones who have done a particularly horrific cannibalistic
the
act,
very bad thing that Jamie
which your wife
we're
has requested that we not mention or not describe in detail.
Because I said it to her. Yeah. She hasn't read this book, and yes. I told her that plot point, and she immediately started crying and said, yeah. Baby Nation's too soft. You cannot talk about that on the
yes.
show.
Yes, and so we're not talking about it. And so it's immediately after the act that we won't talk about, and then they go into a house that seems empty, but it may not be. And the boy is frightened at killers, and more cannibals are waiting for them upstairs, but they have to look. They have to go upstairs, and they have to look because there may be blankets because it's so cold. It is so cold. And then they go and they look, and then this is what they find. And then I have a question about it. They had clothes and blankets and pillows from the upstairs rooms, and they fitted themselves out in new attire. The boy's trousers cut to length with his knife. He made a nesting place in front of the hearth, turning over a tall boy chest to use as a headboard for their bed and to hold the heat. And my question is that jorts? Because before you answer, he's cut the pants to be pant length. But is it jorts now?
Right.
Or is it pants?
I think if the man was wearing it, it would be jorts.
No, but they're cut pants.
Cut pants.
Does the cutting make them jorts? That's my question.
Well, jorts is a portmanteau.
Right.
Of jeans.
Yes.
And shorts.
Right.
And they are shorter.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. So I think they are jorts.
So you think it is jorts?
I'm picturing sort of a Kevin Smith sort of like big
pants. Exactly. Yeah, it's those pants where it's like maybe a little ankle is showing and it's technically shorts.
And they're huge.
They're huge.
The leg, the circumference of the leg is just enormous. Yeah, and that's what he's wearing.
And that's what it is. And that's pretty funny of Cormac McCarthy to put jorts in this one.
It's like he knew we were going to read it. It's like, I'll put this one in for Tanner and Jack.
Yeah.
Is Cormac McCarthy dead? He must be.
He's fine. No, he's fine.
Really?
Yeah, he's fine.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah.
He's like 1,000 years old, isn't he?
No, he's not. Why do you keep saying this to me? You've said this to me before off mic. He's just a guy.
I expected this book to be much older because I know he's 87. He's pretty old. I know that some of his first books came out in like the 70s.
Yeah, but he's like a contemporary
like,
author.
They're 60s even. So yeah. I thought when we started reading this book, I was like, oh, it's one of those old books that Cormac McCarthy made.
No, it came out
like,
in
from
the 70s.
Early aughts. And then they mentioned bottled water and I was like, I don't think bottled water existed in the 70s. And it didn't.
It didn't.
And it was written in 2006.
Okay, good. Now we know that. Here's what I think we should do is take a quick break, and then I've got some really fun segments.
I love fun segments, and I'm looking forward to having fun because I didn't think I was going to tonight.
Well, and we have been, though, haven't we? I'm pretty sad from the book.
Yeah. Pretty hard to pull myself out of that.
Yeah, and I gave my child an extra big hug tonight before bedtime.
Yeah. And I took the day off work tomorrow just to spend time with my boy.
Hug your children extra tight, and we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to have some very fun segments that I have planned for us.
Okay. Okay. See you soon.
Everybody, it's Jack again with a brand new update about the delightful family mystery mobile game June's Journey. I have been making real progress solving puzzles and getting stuff to put on my cool estate in the fun world of mystery, danger, and romance that's conjured up by June's Journey, a game set in the roaring 20s about a daring young woman named June who's traveling to her sister's estate to uncover scandalous family secrets and customizing her own luxurious estate island in the process. Tanner, unfortunately, is still pretty convinced by the ad brief we were sent that he has actually been assigned on a real secret mission to uncover the killer of June's sister, Claire. The good news is that after some extremely frustrating conversations with the unbelievably patient people at the Central Connecticut Steamship Authority, I was able to clear up the fracas regarding the steamship that Tanner rented. But the bad news is that, if I'm reading this hastily scrawled missive correctly, he appears to have gotten himself horribly lost in a hedge maze in Würzburg, which I think is in Germany. According to the secret code on the back of the letter, which, to be clear, he's just written this part upside down, he is in good spirits and he is hot on the tail of Grandma Heath, and I shouldn't worry, but could I please send him 40 ducats in an unmarked envelope so that he can bribe the butler, which sounds both complicated and questionably legal. I'm going to keep you guys posted on this, but in the meantime, you can discover your inner detective just like I have when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. I have to go. There is apparently a carrier pigeon at the door with a new message from Tanner. Okay, so I've got a hot segment that I want to pitch to you, Tanner, that I think is going to have a lot of legs on our podcast and that we'll be able to use a lot, assuming that we read more.
For future seasons?
For future seasons, assuming we read more Cormac McCarthy books, and in fact, only if we read more Cormac McCarthy books.
Okay.
And it's called Constructive Criticism for Cormac.
Okay. I think we can probably find a way to incorporate this into a lot of our seasons.
Yeah.
I don't know if we have to restrict it to just Cormac McCarthy books.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. That's fine. If you can find a way to bring it back, because I'm probably going to have painstakingly sought out like great segment music for this, and so it's going to be a
bummer. I'll find a way to fit it into every season.
Yeah, okay, good. And so in this one, what I thought is, I like this book. So here's my premise. I like this book a lot. The prose is fucking amazing. The story is riveting. The characters are so alive. It made me think about death. It made me cry. It made me openly weep. It made me feel the fierce intensity of my love for my son in a way that I maybe hadn't fully grappled with before I read this book. But it's a little bit too sad and a bummer. And so my constructive criticism that I think we can give for him is how the same book, but it's a little bit more upbeat and a little bit less depressing.
Yes. Rewrites. We're a punch up.
Just a punch up. I've got one to start just to kick us off.
Okay.
What about like a Jar Jar-like character is in the book?
Yes. Well, it's the future, right?
Yeah.
It's post-apocalyptic. So, yeah,
exactly. Anything's possible.
There are murder cults. There's a chance that this was nuclear, so there could be, like, mutants.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And they meet a mutant.
Yeah, they meet a mutant.
Misa.
Misa. Yeah.
And he's just...
Misa's so hungry. Misa eat another mutant.
Well, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
I love that. Can I pitch one your way?
Yes. Yeah. Volley back to me.
This book is about a man and his boy.
Yes.
How about this? Man. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Busty broad.
And it's a little bit sexy.
Little bit sexy, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So how do we feel about that?
Yes.
What if it's an anime?
Okay. Now
let's do
we're talking.
Cormac McCarthy's The Road as an anime.
Yeah. Okay.
That would be good.
Yes, and it's a waifu.
Waifu, yes!
Yes, okay.
They're like high school students.
Let me throw one at you.
Okay.
It's SpawnCon.
Oh, love SpawnCon.
And so it's sponsored by Days Inn or Walmart, And every time things look really bleak when they're on the road, they show up at a Days Inn and they get a good night's rest. And then it looks bleak and they're starving. And then they find a Walmart and they get discount price groceries and everything's okay. And
sure, but they don't even need to because the continental breakfast at Days Inn is so good.
Yeah.
So big.
Yeah.
You'll be full all day.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's great. What about this? They wear a lot of like wrappings on their feet throughout the book, and they're trudging along the road through ash and broken glass and all this other stuff with just sort of like cotton gauze wrapped around their feet. Wouldn't it be so much better if while they were going down the road, they were doing that Nike commercial from like 1998 where it was like rhythm, like drum and bass, but it was all like sneaker squeaks and basketballs.
Classic. Yeah.
That's the road. Is
that's
the
it. It's like a it's Nike got an audio component.
They're wearing
component.
Nikes, and it's like squeak, squeak, squeak. Boop, 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 you know,
that's good.
And that's sponsored. Sorry, I should have said
that's also SponCon.
I'm legally need to say up front that
is SponCon.
That was SponCon, and I'm sorry I didn't. Please don't sue me.
And please don't sue us. Cormac. Yeah. Okay, here's one, and this isn't SponCon at all. This is more like just a tweak to what you've already done than it is like adding something.
To me?
No, to what Cormac has already done. Yeah.
Yeah.
What if everything and everyone in the book doesn't die and isn't already dead, and instead some of the things and the people in the book are alive and live and weren't already dead when we found them.
Right.
And they're like,
that seems like it would be a pretty fundamental shift.
And they're like, fine.
That would be a pretty fundamental shift to the book, I feel like.
We're just most of them.
Right.
And some of them are fine.
I've got one more.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That I think would help a lot. And don't change anything about the book.
Okay.
Beautiful.
Beautiful book.
Haunting.
Yeah.
Setting. Like, reverent.
Yeah.
Let's take out the scene that Jamie won't let us talk about.
And it's just gone.
Just
and it's a cut. And you know what? Sometimes you got to kill your darlings.
Trim the fat. Yeah.
Yeah. And that is kind of what was happening, I think, in the scene that Jamie won't talk about. And we won't say it.
Yeah.
But what if Cormac and his editor killed their darlings and it took that part out? That's great. Okay. I've got one last one. What if the man, instead of being the way that he is more of like a Watson type of dad and babysitter.
That would be fun.
And it's Mark Feuerstein. And he's
Mark
like
Feuerstein,
goofy.
Watson. He's kind of cracking jokes.
It's goofy Mark Feuerstein instead of haunted Clint Eastwood.
I would love to see a cut of the road or a rewrite of the road. And maybe this is our job to do where it's Watson and Karen.
See, now we're talking.
And wouldn't that be fun?
That's nice, but they're fine.
Well, no, it's the exact same universe.
Okay,
everything has burned.
Yeah,
everyone is dying.
At what point they're in a forest?
Humanity's last gasp.
At what point they're in a forest, and they're like sleeping in the forest, and Watson wakes up Karen, and he's like, "Hey, we have to leave. The trees are falling."
The trees are, because it's snowing so hard.
There's no explanation. It's just that, like, the trees have started falling because the world is dying.
Yeah. It was snowing.
Yeah. Actually, that did happen in my yard the other day.
That's why the trees were falling.
A big bamboo fell.
And all the trees are dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And all the trees are dead. Yeah.
They're like burnt matchsticks.
All the trees are dead.
All the trees are dead. I love that. And I think we can probably find a way to bring, I think the way that's going to manifest in future seasons is we take plot points or characters or beats from some of the pieces of media we're going to be covering in the future.
Yeah.
And see if we can retrofit it into Cormac McCarthy's The Road.
That seems great. And then we can
just try it on. Like, what would happen if we put this in Cormac McCarthy's The Road?
That's good. And because I love this so much. It was so well written. It was so inspiring. It was so profound. It honestly, I'm not joking when I say it, like, helped to rekindle my love of reading. but it's so sad and dark. And what if
very sad
if
and
all
dark.
Of those things, but not so sad and dark. And given that, Tanner, I read this on iBooks, and the craziest fucking thing happened.
Okay.
Got to the end of it, finished it, weeping, a weeping wreck of a man.
Yeah, me too.
And I clicked past the final page on iBooks, and guess who showed up? Tim Cook.
Tim's there.
Tim was there. And he said,
"Hello, Jack."
"Hello, Jack." And that's how he talks. And he said, "Jackie boy, you thought you were finished with me, but I rely on you to help to create this social network that I think is going to be the Facebook killer."
Right. Ooh.
Which.
Can you, Jack, carry the flame?
Can you carry the flame? Can you carry the fire just like the boy did in this book?
And into the cold dark, which is, you know, the internet.
And the final page of this book in iBooks is not just the end of the book, but it says, "Rate this book?" Question mark. Sure. And I think they want us to write a review for this on iBooks because we're so good at reviewing babysitters content.
Well, I guess I gotta dust off the old review hat. I don't know if I got it in my old bones anymore, you know?
Well, let's start by saying 5 stars.
5 stars, yeah. 5 stars.
It's great. And it says thanks. And then I'm gonna hit write a review.
Okay.
And
how do we do it? Cormac. Should we address him?
Well, we got to write a title. It wants us to write a title.
Right, title.
Yeah. This is a... Oh, should we mention that it's a babysitting book?
Yeah, I would say maybe like some of the best written babysitting prose.
Yeah.
These babysitting experts have ever read.
Some of the best written babysitting prose these babysitting experts have ever read. That's perfect. And that'll kind of set the tone for the review. And also other people who see it. Okay.
Should we say GCBSF?
In the title.
The title should be GCBSF colon.
GCBSF colon. Yep.
And then let's come up with what that acronym stands for.
Okay. Gory.
Gory. Cataclysmic.
Cataclysmic.
Baby searing. No, we're not allowed to talk about that.
gory, cataclysmic, baleful.
Something father.
Gory, cataclysmic.
How about babysitting father at the end? And let's come up with a better thing for gory and cataclysmic.
Okay, babysitting father is good at the end. Well, we can say good.
Good, cataclysmic, babysitting
there it is.
Father.
There it is. Okay, so that's the title. GCBSF, good cataclysmic babysitting father. And it's 5 stars and it's great. And so, dear Cormac.
Dear Cormac.
Wow. The writing in this is good.
Very good writing, yeah.
It's very good.
I worry,
yeah.
About you.
About you, yes.
Because if this story was inside of you...
it must be pretty dark in there.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
It must be... pretty dark in there. Should we say, are you okay?
How are you? I don't want to do, are you okay feels judgy,
No, that's like, judgmental. Like, how are you? So now what she should do a compliment. We love the babysitting.
We love the babysitting, yeah.
The babysitting in this novel, it reminded
you
us
of...
You know
what one of my favorite scenes was?
Okay, yeah.
When the man taught the boy how to shoot a flare gun.
Yeah, that was really nice.
So maybe we can say that, like...
I particularly loved the scene where the man taught the boy to shoot a flare gun.
Mm-hmm.
Can I say that it reminded us of BSC in the USA?
I would, yeah. I would. If can you find like a sort of like a critic's way of sort of saying that, like invoked?
Oh yeah,
like, notes of.
What about this novel and the and
spiritual successor
Martin classic BSC in the USA speak to each other across the void?
Mm-hmm.
Does that work?
Yeah, I like that.
Both are about road trips.
Mm-hmm. Babysitting.
Babysitting.
I'm and, feeling an ascending tricola.
Failed father figures.
Failed father figures. God, it really is, isn't it?
Yeah, because in BSC in the USA, Christie's dad.
Christie's narrative.
Although
I don't think in. Delete.
Okay.
The father in Cormac McCarthy's The Road is not failed.
Flawed father figures.
Flawed is good.
Okay.
And the father in Cormac McCarthy's The Road's main flaw is he's dying of tuberculosis.
Yes.
Yeah.
Should we ask him if this is our actual future?
Yes. And whether or not there's any way we can prepare for it, and whether or not it's inevitable that the heat death of the universe will cause everything we know to die and every light we've ever seen to slowly burn out until all that's left is blackness.
Great. Okay. Cormac, quick question. Is this our actual future? Uh-huh. By which we mean, is the heat death of the universe going to kill
everyone we've ever known.
Everyone we've ever known. And also the humanity inside us.
And the humanity inside us, yep. That's the first thing to go.
And the humanity and warmth inside us. And then what?
And snuff out every light.
Every light.
We've ever... turned our faces to in hope.
Great.
As the universe succumbs to entropy,
mm-hmm.
and everything descends into darkness.
Perfect. Descends into darkness. And then finally, are those jorts?
Was it jorts? Very good question.
Was it jorts when they find the pants and cut them, I'm going to say?
Yep.
Does that sound good?
Yeah.
And cut them, Jack Shepherd and Tanner Greenring. And then I'd love to read it back to you.
I would love that too. I'm on a subreddit right now.
Okay.
I know. Don't look at subreddits when you're recording the podcast, but...
yeah, yes.
I saw when I was looking at Cormac McCarthy's
Wikipedia... No, I do want to second that motion, but yes. Mm-hmm.
I saw when I was looking at Cormac McCarthy's Wikipedia, which I was on before,
mm-hmm.
while we were recording, that he has a book coming up.
Oh, okay.
Called The Passenger. And I searched Cormac McCarthy, The Passenger, and the top link was to reddit.com/r/CormacMcCarthy, and it's, will we ever see The Passenger? And everyone seems to think that Cormac McCarthy is 87 and has been talking about this book for a while, and maybe he'll never release it. And also, apparently it has a female protagonist, and Cormac McCarthy struggles with that.
He sure did in this one.
No, he didn't. He didn't struggle with it at all in this one.
Yeah, he didn't even try.
A single female character.
Can I read you this review back to you? Okay.
Yep.
Ready?
Yep.
5 stars. It's great. GCBSF. Good, cataclysmic, babysitting father.
Yeah.
Dear Cormac.
Well, that makes it sound like the father's cataclysmic.
Okay.
And he's not.
What about choleric? What about good cataclysm? Full stop. Babysitting father! Exclamation point.
That's good.
Okay. Yep. Perfect. Thanks for the note. Okay. 5 stars. It's great. GCBSF. Good cataclysm. Babysitting father! Dear Cormac. Wow. The writing in this is very good. I worry about you. Because if this story was inside of you, it must be pretty dark in there. How are you? We love the babysitting in this novel. I particularly love the scene where the man taught the boy to shoot a flare gun. This novel and the Ann M. Martin classic BSC in the USA speak to each other across the void. Oh, I should say scintillating. We love the babysitting in this scintillating novel.
Yes, perfect.
I particularly love the scene where the man taught the boy to shoot a flare gun. This novel and the Ann M. Martin classic BSC in the USA speak to each other across the void. Both are about road trips, babysitting, and flawed father figures. Cormac, quick question. Is this our actual future? By which we mean, is the heat death of the universe going to kill everyone we've known and the humanity and the warmth inside us and snuff out every light we've ever turned our faces to in hope as the universe succumbs to entropy and everything descends into darkness? Question mark. And finally, was it jorts when they find the pants and cut them?
Yeah.
Jack Shepard and Tanner Greenring, P.S. We love this one.
We love this one.
What do you think?
Great.
All right.
Cut and print.
I've submitted that. That's going in there.
You're welcome, Tim.
Yep. We did it again.
How many reviews I got, that book? Because the thing about the Babysitter's Club, what were we doing those for? Specials? The super specials?
Yeah.
The thing about those was no one had ever reviewed those.
Yeah. This one has 84 customer reviews.
Can we just take a quick gander, see what we got?
Yeah. Unreadable, 1 star. The e-version of this book is not readable. Whoever transcribed this sounded like he was blackout drunk and failed 6th grade English more than once.
That's got him. You read the e-book version. Was it intolerable?
It was fine.
Okay.
Let's see. 2 stars. Overrated, depressing book. Force myself to keep reading to give it an honest shot. No thanks!
Hey, I love the book, but same.
This one is 5 stars. Disturbing. Great reading. Very disturbing. Yeah, that's good. So we're fitting in, I think, with these fucking clowns who are reviewing this book.
It takes a special kind of person to get on iBooks and review Cormac McCarthy's The Road.
Well, we've done it, and you're welcome, Tim. Yeah.
You're welcome, Tim. Anything else you want to discuss about this book?
I mean, I have things to say. It's about, do you think, here's a question for you.
Yeah.
It's Jackie, isn't it?
It's Jackie. Which one?
That's the question. So I've got 2 options for Jackie.
We have to go back, Kate.
Okay. One is the boy.
We have to go back.
That's the obvious one. That's the life he's living. He's the boy. He's got this, like, innocence to him, the boy does. He's, like, never known anything else, but he's like, full of love and kindness. And he reminded me of Jackie. And he's also carrying the fire, which is the only thing that he's taken from the BSC, right? Which is the fire at Marianne's house. Right. That's my number one suggestion. And then there's a scene. You read this scene, and it's with Eli. How would you know if you were the last man on Earth, he said. I don't guess you would know it. You'd just be it. Nobody would know it. It wouldn't make any difference. When you die, it's the same as if everybody else did too. Right. I guess God would know. Is that it? There is no God. No, there is no God, and we are his prophets.
His prophets, yeah.
And that is something that Jackie Radowski, and that's Eli says that. And that is something that, like, a wizened Jackie Radowski after,
it's
like,
something that
a
Jackie Radowski
lifetimes
has said in so many words,
yes,
in the Babysitter's Club novels.
Yeah.
Something sort of oddly comforting about when you die, it's like everyone else dies too.
Yeah. Comforting in the way that this book is comforting, which is not at all.
Like, the book somehow manages to convince you over 300 pages that, like, yeah, maybe death is the only true comfort.
Death is the ultimate babysitter.
Yeah. Yeah. We got to that conclusion a lot quicker, season 4. I was not expecting to get there in season 4, but...
Yeah. Well, in this novel, the sitter does become the sat, right? Because the boy... and the sat becomes a sitter, because the boy does end up kind of looking after his tubercular father towards the end of the novel. And that's what that is. But it's not a coming-of-age book.
Well, kind of. The kid goes from being, like, a scared boy to, like, a competent, like...
Scared boy.
Self... assured scared boy.
Yeah. And don't we all?
Yeah. And then he meets a nice family at the end, and they teach him about God.
And that's my babysitter of the week.
The nice family?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I won't say why he meets a nice family.
They're the only other nice people in the book.
Yeah.
Everyone else is like ranges from pretty
old
mean.
Old man's kind of cool. I like the old man.
Everyone else ranges from pretty mean to very mean. And yeah. The old man is pretty mean. Cause he like
old man is pretty mean.
They like share some food with him, and then at the end, like the boy shares food with him, and the man is like, "Let's not share our food." And the boy's like, "We've got to." And the old man eats the food, and then after they share food, the man is like, "Do you have any intention to say thank you?" And the old man is like, "Literally, what would be the point?"
I like that old man. I like his energy. They're just like, how'd you survive this long? He's like, well, I don't fucking know.
I don't know. I'm basically dead as far as I'm concerned.
Who cares? What's it matter? That's good. I like that. All right, cool.
Yeah.
So it is Jackie Radowski. He's the boy.
He's the boy. Yeah, he's the boy.
Carrying the fire.
And the man, let's say it, it's both, right? It's two timelines. That's something we haven't explored with Jackie, but he could meet himself. There's nothing about the rules that Anne and Martin has set out that he couldn't meet himself on a different, like, trajectory. He's the old man, true. And he is the boy.
Right.
Right? Like, the version of him that is the boy is the innocent young version of him. It's like his first trip. And then the version of him that is the old man who says, like, there is no God and we are his prophets.
Yeah.
Is like Jackie Radowski, like an infinity of lifetimes later.
Yeah.
And that's nice. And that's nice that Corman McMarthy.
Right.
And we see you.
Corman. Mick.
Marthy. And I said it.
Martinson.
We see you, Anne.
Yeah, we see you.
Yeah, sorry,
I'm a little distracted. I'm trying to find. I realized that God is not real and we are his prophets was my burn. So now I'm trying to see if I can find.
Oh, I didn't have a
burn. Scramble to find another burn. And I guess my burn is the man who got burned up by that lightning that hit him.
That's good. And my burn is whatever the cataclysm is that burned all those people who like burned in the tar, and you can only see like their sunken features in the tar. And the man is like. I should shield my son from this. And then he's like, what would the point be of that? And then he doesn't. And then the son sees it. And that's,
his
but
son
they
sees
got
it
burned.
And he's like, you shouldn't see things. And the son's like, why not? And he's like, well, because things stay in your memory. And he's like, you never forget anything. And he's like, no, you forget the things you want to remember. And you remember the things you want to forget.
It's a fun one. I think that's all the time we have for today. Okay. I'd like to.
Are you sure? I could keep talking about this forever.
hug your children. Listen, here's the thing about this book that is like, I recommend it.
Yeah, it's actually like, no joke. We're making jokes about this because we have to, because it's too sad to not make jokes about it. But very, very well written book.
Incredibly powerful. And it like, it has at its core like a hope and a love, and it is like the immense love that exists between this father and his son that is so large and so powerful that it somehow
it's all there is.
Just about transcends the like total bleak darkness of this dying world.
And it
made me cry, and I cried from this book, and it's powerful. And don't read it if you have kids.
Yeah. Really, I love this book, and I thought many times through reading it, I was like, dang, I wish that I read this 5 years ago.
Yeah, no, it would have been different for me.
This would have gone down
it.
A lot more smoothly
it's
5 years ago.
It's really fucked up to read if you have children. But it's just like, it's an incredible piece of literature. It was like, I'm not kidding, like, I've been like, you know, there's been a pandemic and I've lost my job and like I've had a child and then we didn't have daycare. And so it's been a while since I've like read anything substantial. I just like read like fantasy or whatever.
Right.
And so like the fact that I had to read this book that was like so powerful and profound, like has made me realize that I like that. And it's like right. actually nice to be enriched by like what is clearly genuinely great literature. And so that thank you to Cormac McCarthy for that. It was fucking
thank you to Cormac McCarthy. I'm going to read some more of your books because yeah. I like this one so much.
Yeah.
Please do finish this last book that you're writing called The Passenger.
Yeah. It sounds like Reddit's pretty like upset yeah. about it. What I would like to say is thank you, Tanner, so much for bearing with me.
You're welcome.
I would like to thank the Baby Nation for bearing with us. Obviously, we've always said that we read books about babysitting, and that's what we've continued to do, and we've kept our promise.
Radio novels and video novels. What are we going to read next week?
I wonder, and I know, because we did it yesterday.
Oh, okay, and it was Adventures in Babysitting.
Yeah, and it's Adventures in Babysitting.
AKA, Madeline Stillwell.
Yeah.
Josh Lyman, guy from Rent.
Yeah, it's a fun movie.
More Water.
Yeah, it's a it's a spiritual sequel to The Road.
Yeah, in a lot of ways.
In
yeah.
a lot of ways because it's another book about babysitting that kind of goes wrong.
It's a road trip movie.
It's a road trip movie about a babysitting scenario that goes off the rails.
Yeah,
because of bad actors.
Yeah. They encounter a lot of bad actors along the way.
Yeah, it's a...
And we're not saying the actors in the film are bad.
No, the actors are great.
In the film are great, yeah.
Yeah, but some of the car thieves and stuff are bad. We don't want to spoil it. You're going to enjoy it. It's fun in the same way that The Road is fun, by which I mean not at all like that. It's different, but it's got babysitting in it.
Yeah.
I would like to say that you must subscribe to our Patreon. It's patreon.com/BSCC podcast. We talk about the Little Sister books and we sing about the Little Sister books, and you must subscribe to it. It's the best way to support our show and keep us doing what we're doing and keep us alive. And also it's good. And you get a whole episode every week for just $5 a month. Patreon.com/BSCC podcast. Join our Facebook group. It's fun in there. Everyone's good and nice. Just find it by searching for Baby Nation on Facebook. Buy our merch, bit.ly/BSCC merch. One of these days we'll put new merch up there, but in the meantime, just get what we have. It's good. There's good
Cormac
stuff.
Cormac McCarthy's The Road merch up there.
Yeah, that's perfect. And please do rate and review our show on Apple Podcasts. Yep. It's the only way that Tim Cook ever pays attention to us, except when we do his dirty bidding and try to make his social network take off by reviewing right. his books on iBooks. All that remains is for me to say that this week we read a novel. It was called The Road.
It was called The Road. I'm going to text you right now your outro.
Okay. Is it going to be the prophet's thing?
Blood to berries.
Yeah. This is the way.
This is the way. God is not real.
And no, I think it's...
God is dead.
There is no God and we are his prophets.
There is no God...
Yeah.
And we are his
yep, that's
prophets.
It.
And I'm really looking forward to you doing this again next week and us coming up with a Adventures in Babysitting addition to the outro.
Well, we won't. Well, wait, because we forgot, no. didn't we?
Yeah.
But we'll remember next time.
Yeah.
I have been this week Jack Alexander Shepherd.
My name is Tanner Greenring.
What do I read? I read all of it and then say the Babysitter's Club stuff?
I think this comes after the Babysitter's Club
okay.
stuff.
Please do remember to round off the corners in your bedroom. Drown all your dolls. Call your senator and demand your right to bear time. And do not forget to let Daddy love you as much as I do. Remember the Delaneys. Remember the Trip Man. Take your dream horse through that maze. This is the way. Berries to blood. There is no God. And we are his prophets. Claudia is wearing a bra now. And the way she talks, you would think that boys had just been.
Don't care, don't care, don't care. Hey, don't care.
Great. All right, I need you to turn that damn frown upside down.
Hard. That's hard to do when we just read this dang book.
Okay, ready? Let's count.
One.
No, I two, start.
Three.
Four. No, that's five, not helpful. One.
Two.
Three.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.